This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. Let's go here with Nikola Jokic's brother, reportedly involved in the fan altercation. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. You saw the video by now. I mean, the bigger of the two brothers popped somebody pretty good, and the guy didn't go down initially, which was also kind of amazing to me.
Adrenaline is a heck of a chemical.
But this is weird to me. It wasn't really reported, was it?
Yeah, so this is involving Nikola Jokic's brother, Strahinja Jokic. Denver Police Department says it was aware of the video and is looking into what happened, noting that the incident at Ball Arena wasn't reported to police. They also said, quote, no one has come forward as a victim, but the department is actively working to identify the person in the video who was struck and encourages anyone who was involved or witnessed firsthand to contact the Denver Police Department.
So if the guy that was struck didn't come forward, right, and say anything, then why? I'm just asking. Why are we making a big... I'm not saying it was right, but I'm seriously just asking.
I think it's more of just the NBA is looking into it, and they're the ones that started
they don't want to look into it. Yeah, and they don't want it to get out. Hey, we got two dudes here that are kind of involved with the Nuggets, and they're dangerous.
That or, you know, hey, one of the faces of our league, you know, his family is detrimental to the image that we're trying to promote. Because Jokic is... Nikola is so much different than his brothers. So maybe part of just the image protection thing,
I guess. They were sitting next to Joker's wife.
They have like a little family.
Yep. They have their, you see their passes and everything. Obviously their family, the little girl was there. I don't know what happened, Angel. There's a lot of rumors swirling around, but nothing confirmed via reports or anything. So, you know, could the fan that was in front of them have been nasty to them? Maybe. Could he have said something that was just nothing at all, really? Just talking typical sports trash, and the Joker brother overreacted. What's that one's name, by the way?
The big one?
Yeah.
Strahinja.
I mean, let's just be honest. If a guy hits another guy at a sporting event, what do you think? Obviously, there was some smack talk at some degree.
Sure.
So the guy that got hit was probably talking trash. I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept talking trash. In the video, you could see the guy still talking to him. And then Strahinja, bam.
Yeah, and he like made his way over to that fan, like over the other brother to get in front of that guy and then got a pretty good lick in.
If the guy was innocent and didn't do anything to ignite this fight, this punch, then he probably would have went to the police. Now, I'm just thinking me personally. What would you do? Because me personally, if I'm talking, even if I'm not talking trash, and I got hit by him, I'm probably just like, damn, that hurt, and I'm going home. I don't want to make it a deal. I'm just that kind of guy. I don't want to make it a deal.
If you were around other people that potentially heard your trash talk,
yeah,
and you got maybe laid out, and it's like, you probably deserve that, dude.
But yeah, maybe it was really bad.
That's not saying violence is the answer
to
altercations, but...
Sometimes.
I just don't pick on the 7-foot-tall Serbian dude.
Yeah. It's flag desperate. Sorry, I know a lot of people would like it to be, but this is not Serbia. Lock him up.
Oh, gosh.
Lock him up? Did they lock up
the
Suns?
You find a jail cell big enough for that dude.
Did they lock up the Suns and 4 guy?
don't think so.
Oh, maybe the Nuggets fan took a swing first.
Maybe these sports altercations that happen in arenas can mostly be settled before you leave the arena. And, you know, you get a slice of humble pie. It's like, hey, sit down, enjoy the rest of the game, go home.
Flying Dutchman, do you know all the details? You're just going to lock him up? Like, I'm asking. What if the guy spit in the face of Joker's wife or something? What if he threw something at them? We don't know that yet. So you would just lock him up? Flying Dutchman says, assault. I mean, yeah, if he just went over and found a random dude and punched him, then yeah, he should have some charges, I'm sure. But yeah, just, like, we don't know what happened
looking yet. At the video, it does look like both brothers make their way over to this person.
Like something ignited them.
Right. And the guy is looking off to their left as they're making their way over. You see Nicola's wife and I guess another wife of them tries to like calm him down a bit. I mean, props to the dude for taking that hit. And just
he didn't go down.
Standing there,
he did. He went down later. Like he just kind of sat down after that. Did he or did he leave? Was he bailing after that?
Yeah, he does sit.
Because that was down. It was at the end of the game, wasn't it?
It's like he grabs something and then starts to head up. And yeah,
I mean, come on. I don't think the Joker brothers are just going up to random people and punching them in the face. I don't. But something fired him up. Flying Dutchman, thugs. We are a nation of laws, not men.
All right, George Washington. How many fights did we see at NFL games?
All the time. It happens all the damn time. And we just go idiots and scroll past it.
You cut them off in the third quarter like you said you would.
Should they get in trouble? Hey, listen, if they just went up and popped a guy, if he just went up and popped a guy for the just for funsies, then yeah, he should get in some serious trouble.
Back in the 1700s, it was, you had a disagreement, pistols outside right
pistols.
Now.
Or they
We're
take
settle this.
They take their gloves off and then they slap each other with one of the other gloves.
Huge sign of disrespect.
Yeah,
I mean a slap from a glove with a Jokic brother might still put you on your butt.
Yeah. Flying Dutchman. I can't tell if he's being.
I think he's just trolling.
No place for vigilante justice. Willful ignorance is no excuse. Oh, now I think you're being serious. I don't know, man. Let's get more details on it. Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back after 14 years. 14 years after he had to forfeit the actual trophy. That was 2005, the year I graduated from high school. And he's getting it back because of enormous changes in the college football landscape. They're calling it a formal reinstatement of the trophy to Bush. This is a tough one for me. Because I'm the guy who said, oh, that's ridiculous that they can't accept money and cars and all that stuff anyway. And again, we've changed a little bit of my opinion on it, kind of. So I never liked that you couldn't buy a guy a sandwich. And I know he got a lot more than a sandwich, but the rules were so ridiculous. But those were the rules. Those were the rules then. Should he get the trophy back because we passed it now? I don't know.
I mean, did the money and all that stuff, the gifts, did that influence how he played on the field? And isn't that what, and the Heisman has gone away from the stuff you do off the field that gets you that award. It's more of, you know, the stats and, you know, you were the best player in football that year. And it's become more of an MVP trophy than it has been.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you did great philanthropy work or great social work outside of football and all of that. So did all that influence his play or was he just the best running back in football at that time?
Did he get, I mean, he got, they call it improper benefits during his career. Did he get them before he got there? Were they inducements or a way to entice him to come over? Was that what they were?
Yeah, was it like a Cam Newton situation where they were paying his dad money to get him to go to Auburn?
Yeah, we just know that he got stuff. I thought he got a car. For one, I don't know for sure. I mean, listen, if I had to vote, yeah. Reinstate him. Reinstate the trophy to him or whatever you want to call it. I probably don't have as much energy on it as I used to.
It was a 2010 NCAA investigation that found that he and his family had received hundreds of thousands of dollars in gifts from a sports agent.
If that so, can they receive hundreds of thousands of dollars as gifts from sports agents today? Or can they receive money from anybody now? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's just bare bones NIL stuff.
Yeah. All right. Where do you come out on this? Are you good with this?
Yeah, I'm mostly fine with it. You were finishing high school. I was finishing kindergarten when this happened. So
you didn't even know what is a
Heisman? What is a Reggie Bush? I don't know.
I don't know.
So I'm fine with it. I'm tired of the give Reggie his trophy back. It's like we've got it now, and he'll be in the Heisman House commercials, and we'll all have a good laugh about that.
I'm good with it. I think I'm good with it. Now, your thoughts? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Let's read a couple of texts here. Flying Dutchman wants to know, I see that UNC lost starters Austin Lawrence and Jamari Robinson. Do you know if UNC has picked anyone up in the portal? We haven't heard a lot of portal news on incoming for UNC, have we?
Not that I've seen. But go check out Blake Olson.
Yeah, Blake's hitting that up.
He is more in that program than
anybody else.
Some of those players probably are.
Yeah, he's out there every single day. He's a great insider for the UNC Bears. I'm on his Twitter right now. I don't see a lot of that news, Angel.
None that I've seen have been officially announced, and maybe we won't hear that till after the windows closes.
Yeah, Ed didn't bring anything up today. We talked about that, and you know, he was of the mindset, hey, if we lose a receiver, we're not really of the mindset to just go out and get another receiver to replace him. That's just another opportunity for somebody moving up. So Ed's not in like die hard in on the portal stuff. He is about recruiting and recruiting locally. That is his number one goal.
Day one when he got here.
And he's doing it. And he believes that even more now when you talk to him. So I don't expect there to be a lot of incoming transfer news for the UNC Bears, at least this season. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Texter here. Let's refresh. The Stidham-led win over the Chargers is rearing its ugly head because the way things shook out. It kept Denver out of the top 10 and allowed a QB-needy team in Minnesota to jump them. Minnesota has ammo to move up and a higher pick than Denver, which will be more appealing to trade partners. Denver with no second really has no ammo. Have a feeling the worst-case scenario will play out with Denver missing out on the top 4 QBs. Well, that's what our mock would tell us. Caleb's gone, Jaden's gone, JJ's gone, and Penix is gone. And then next is Bo Nix. And yeah, they could trade back in the draft and maybe get Bo Nix, but is that a risk you're willing to take? Because we talked about four teams between 12 and 20, four or five, that could use a quarterback.
And I've mentioned this before. Would you be willing to take Spencer Rattler in the second or third round?
If you can get a second pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like him. But now you're going into camp with three guys that are like, eh.
Well, if the plan was to have the rookie sit anyway, Rattler could be the guy that might be more accepting of that role.
Moldable too, perhaps?
Yes.
Is he moldable? I haven't read a lot of draft profiles on him.
I think
him.
He is. He definitely improved, I think, in his maturity and his talent from Oklahoma, because Oklahoma was running that all over the place type of offense with Baker and then to Kyler and then Williams and Rattler. And then I think he got more mature and more developed at South Carolina. So I think he's not quite a project quarterback, but just a little bit above that.
So keep your first rounder, draft Brock Bowers. See
or
if you can
trade back, get a second, still pick in the first, take BPA, and then get Rattler in the second. Use that sixth round pick you got from the Jets.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't love the idea of trading back necessarily, but then again, I don't really like the idea of, hey, we're at 12, we gotta do the best player available thing.
Yeah, and you don't want to get caught in the there was just a run on quarterbacks. We have to go get our guy now. And just, you know, we love Bo Nix. We'd love him to get him at 20, but we kind of have to get him at 12 because he's not going to make it to 20.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, they could go so many different directions with this. There's so many different directions the Broncos could go. And could they still move up potentially and get J.J. McCarthy has been all the talk. I mean, we keep hearing that Sean Payton loves this guy. But you have him, and I think most people have him going in the top three.
Yeah, and if not the three, possibly six or seven, depending on who trades up to those spots. Because I think after those quarterbacks, you'll start to see the wide receivers go. Maybe an offensive lineman, maybe one of the edge rushers. And then you're left with two, three more quarterbacks, Brock Bowers, and the other top 15 players.
I'll give you a guess who this text is from. Stidham went to the University of Richmond. DiNucci went to James Madison. There's no way someone from James Madison is going to lose to someone from Richmond. Go, Nooch.
I can't advocate for Stidham because he went to Auburn as well.
We got Zach Wilson. You know, yeah. BYU, man.
I don't mind Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
He was one of my rivals for a few years, and now he's in greener pastures.
Yeah. I've settled down on it a little bit, but
There's kind of a sense of, like, did Sean Payton pull off a sneaky move here? Like,
well, you didn't get, I mean,
what does he see in Zach Wilson? He had that comment about, I think he could be good, or I think he has good traits or whichever. So Sean Payton kind of playing the sleight of hand here.
Well, he didn't give up anything, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? He dates Sean Payton's mom, and if she's passed away, I'm so sorry.
And I mean, it's a wild comparison, but is it kind of similar to a Drew Brees situation? With Zach Wilson.
Well, that's what they're saying, because that was the last time. Because when was Drew Brees drafted? Wasn't he?
I want to say like 04 or 05, maybe off.
Because a lot of people are making that comparison to him.
2001,
and he was what number?
He was the second quarterback behind Michael Vick.
Okay, and so a lot of people are saying, because Zach Wilson was the second quarterback in his draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last time Sean Payton took the second quarterback and traded for him or whatever, it was Drew Brees. But Drew Brees was good with the Chargers, though. He wasn't great yet, but he was good.
The Chargers got LaDainian Tomlinson in that same draft.
Oh, man. LT. The other LT. Mm-hmm. There's two LTs. He was amazing. And I know because he torched Denver all the time. He was one of my favorite players to watch. This isn't Drew Brees. But wouldn't that be a story if Zach Wilson works out? But again, you're not risking anything. You didn't give up. You swapped picks. You moved back, a few spots in the sixth round.
You don't have to sign him to a new contract.
No. And they're paying half of his what they owe him, or what he's going to be owed next year. So it's all good. It's fine. 23 minutes after the hour. Poll question of the day. You can vote on my X account, at Whole Show. Are we good with the Broncos' new uniforms? Overall, yes, no, or meh. It's the Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. One more time. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening at 1310 KFKA.
Okay, I don't like talking about this guy all the time, Angel, but when he gives a positive, I want to at least acknowledge that. Nick Wright, is he on Fox? He's interesting, but he gets the people going, so you got to give him that. He said today on his show, now he was bitching about the altitude yesterday in Denver, but he did say that if Joker wins a championship this year, if the Nuggets win another championship, that he said only 9 guys will be in front of Joker. So he's basically saying Joker's in the top 10 or he's in the same room. So he would say, he said LeBron, Kareem, Michael Jordan, Magic, Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Tim Duncan, Kobe, and Bird would be the 9 players in front of Joker. And that Joker is now, he didn't say top 10. He just said they would be in front of him. And he's basically lateral with Steph Curry and maybe some of those other guys. He said he's better than Giannis. He's better than KD.
Yeah, it was like Steph, Hakeem, a couple other those.
And he said he's over Shaq. And people freak out about that so much. I'm like, what else did Shaq do besides dominate in that semicircle inside the paint? I mean, I love Shaq, dude. Who doesn't love Shaq? But I'm asking the questions. What else did he do besides dominate that area? I mean, he didn't pass like the Joker. He rebounded, but he was way bigger. And I know Joker's big too, but and he doesn't have an outside shot. He couldn't make free throws. So yeah, Joker's better than Shaq, man. I mean, it's not breaking news. But hey, you gotta give credit where credit's due. Everybody's freaking out. Rachel Nichols. Remember Rachel Nichols?
Mm-hmm.
She responded to a tweet of mine a few years ago because she was critical of Joker. And I went at her, and she responded. So that was kind of cool for me personally because I'm a fan. She basically said today that LeBron James is getting a taste of his own medicine because he used to, basically the Eastern Conference, he ran that show for the most part until the championship came. She said Joker's on his way to doing that in the West. That now it's all set up for him.
I did see one video over the weekend about LeBron's rivals, and is Jokic becoming one of his all-time rivals when you think about Dirk with the Mavericks or the Spurs teams that he played or the Boston Big Three when he had them or even Paul George when he was in Indiana. Jokic is the only one who's consistently beat him.
Yeah. No, he's definitely one of LeBron's rivals. No question about it. 30 minutes after the hour, let's talk some Colorado Buffaloes with a very logical and reasonable human being, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my man, always great to catch up with you.
Good being with you. Well, you know, we need to start getting you other guys to lead into the segment.
Well, yeah, we need somebody different than Sefo. I was going to talk to Angel about that. Hey, how about Shador Sanders, Mark?
Sure. Oh, yeah, I'm sure I can get that done. Well, mine hasn't played. I did one for you. So I know
yours plays
there.
All the time, to be honest.
So you've got two.
Yeah.
So we need. Maybe I'll get one for Tad Boyle from you.
We need one from Tad. I have not had one from Tad. Can you hook me up with the Tad? Tad and I are basically best friends. Mark, come on.
That's what I've heard. He tells me that all the time. In fact,
I'm sure he talks about me more than I talk about him. I'm sure, right?
Every single time I walk into his office, he said, "Hey, how's Brady doing?" He asks me all the time.
Well, when he asks you next time, say, "Hold on, record this for me real quick. We got to get Tad. It would be good." Yours plays all the time. In fact, one time we accidentally played it before I had a CSU guy on, and they were really mad. Mainly you, Mark. I said, "Oh, that was not my fault." Mark came in one day, he filled in for me, and he programmed it that way. So you might have enemies because of me, Mark.
Well, believe me, if I've got enemies, it's a long list. Just take a number.
Okay, Mark, I gotta ask you something. Okay.
Sure.
And now I consider you a great friend of mine, somebody that I look up to in this industry. I also consider you to be a logical fan of the Colorado Buffaloes.
All right.
I put out any kind of tweet that might even suggest that I'm questioning what's going on with the Buffs. And there's a group of Buffs fans. I don't know who this group is that are. Mark, I'm going to say it, man. They're just nasty individuals.
Yes. You know, I've always believed in life, anybody that says you cannot question somebody is on the wrong side of the line, right?
Yeah.
Everybody should be questioned. Everybody should be called to account. Everybody should be, whatever they do, we should be able to ask, especially in a public setting. I'm not talking about your personal life. You do whatever you want in your personal life. From a public setting, when anybody, I don't care if it's Deion Sanders, if it's Sean Payton, if it's John Elway, if it's Joe Sakic, I don't care who it is. Anybody that does something, it should be okay to, you know, especially when we're talking about like political leaders, right? We should be able to ask questions and you know, why is this happening or how does that work? And so anytime I kind of see it, I get the same thing. It's kind of funny. You know, somebody enters the transfer portal, all I do is just retweet it. I don't even say anything about it. And all of a sudden I get these nasty messages about, what are you doing that for?
Wow.
It happened. It's news. And so that's an interesting aspect of this world that we live in right now. And I don't think it's unique to the University of Colorado and the football program. It seems to be that way in a lot of areas of life right now, that if anybody questions what I happen to agree with, you're automatically the enemy. And that's a sad way of looking at things. And it's really, I think, a byproduct of tribalism, and I'm not a big fan of that. So.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And the funny thing on that, too, is, you know, I grew up, and I still am, I am a Buffs fan. I am a Rams fan. And when those two play each other, Mark, I always root for the team that I picked on the show. That's it. That's how I do it.
Because it's all about you.
It's all about me, Mark. Tad knows this. He'll tell you, man. All right, so with the transfer portal stuff, and I, you know, again, part of that being a logical person, there's going to be names in this portal every single day. We're going to see it from every school throughout the country. However, it does seem like there is a large number of Buffs players entering that portal, and some of them are decent as far as big names on paper. You know, Cormani McClain, obviously, I know that didn't work out, but that's a big name. And then Dylan Edwards had some moments for the Buffs last year.
Well, without question. And remember, he was one of the highest regarded running backs coming out of high school. He committed to Notre Dame, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And Prime flipped him. And, you know, here's the thing about it when we get to the transfer portal. Everyone has to remember it. I was at an event last night. I was speaking, and I got asked about this. And I said, just remember, not everybody that goes in the transfer portal decides to go in the transfer portal, right? I mean, there are a lot of people that are being, you know, there's a footprint on their backside.
Sure.
Being encouraged. And so when you see all of these players, and this is what we have asked for in college athletics. Oh, the players have to have freedom. Oh, the players have to be paid. Well, guess what then? You're going to be treated just like other people who have jobs that can be hired and fired at any given moment. And then along with that then also comes, and we're dealing with this right now heavily. I was just out in Syracuse about an hour ago. We were talking about this, and I said, guys, we're dealing with the greatest example of grass is greener syndrome I've ever seen. Because every young person out there believes if I just go to another school, it's going to be better. I'm going to get more money. I'm going to get more adulation. I'm going to get more playing time. I'm going to get more accolades, whatever it is. And so this thing, listen, I don't think you can slice and dice this thing in any direction and lay it in front of me and have me tell you it's a positive thing. I said the other day at an event, I said, I love the games. I'm just not a big fan of the sports world right now. And that includes professional sports as well. But right now, you know, what's happening at an accelerated pace right now is what's going on in college athletics, and it's highly disturbing to me.
I'm there, too. You know, Mark, I've gone rounds about this over the last several years of whether this is a good thing, whether you can edit this, but there's no controlling it. It's chaos right now. So this is going to be what we see every year, and this is why when I look at a lot of names, my first reaction is, yeah, I wonder if that's as bad as it looks, or if it was something else, or if the coach wanted him gone, or if he didn't think he was going to start. I mean, so when you get asked, or maybe Mark help me out, when I get asked, hey, what's I had texters today. I mean, here's one from earlier. Is something going on at CU? What is your answer to that, Mark?
Well, yeah, it's going on every college campus in America. You know, I mean, I told you I was on a station in Syracuse today. Where, of course, I was before coming here, and they were asking because they just picked up Savion Washington and Eddie Lampkin, two Buffalo. And so I said something. I said, well, that's quite a pipeline we got going. And the host of the show said, boy, there's a pipeline going on everywhere right now. And so I don't – here's the issue with that question. That question is based in a, let's say, a 2015 mentality.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because this host of the show said to me, hey, Eddie Lampkin's at his third school. She would be concerned. And I said, if you would ask me 7 or 8 years ago, I'd say, yeah, be concerned. But now, no, this is just the reality of what we're living in. So when somebody says there's something going on at CU, well, yeah, college athletics is going on at CU. And we have perverted this thing from a business model standpoint to the point where it's unrecognizable. And so when you ask a question like that, that's a very 2017 kind of mindset, all right? It's different now. The whole thing is totally different. So that question right now is not quite appropriate to what we're living with in terms of the characteristics of how this thing works. Right now, the question should be: is Colorado utilizing the system to the best of its ability, and are they weeding out guys they don't think are going to be in, or guys, you know? So you've got to totally change your perception of this thing because it's totally different right now.
Well, and Mark, yeah, last week we were talking to different folks and getting some different research on a guy like Cormani McClain, and you know this more than I do, but a lot of people are thinking or saying that he maybe didn't go to class as much as he should have. He didn't do these things. He didn't do that thing. So we're trying to get that information. There's going to be guys maybe primetime loves them and they got big names and they come here thinking they're going to be just kind of treated like a superstar, but primetime on the other end, which I think a lot of people would appreciate, is saying, no, I got to hold you accountable, man. You got to go to all your stuff. And so there are still those stories there. It's not like primetime doesn't know how to coach young men. He was doing it before CU.
Well, Brady, here's the other side of this. And I had a longtime coaching friend. I've mentioned it before. I've got a group of men that I've been friends with for 25, 30 years in this business, who I've maintained relationships with to talk things over about the coaching world and the world of athletics. And one guy told me, he said, there's a major problem happening no one wants to talk about. And I said, what's that? And he said, what we've done, and this gentleman had coached a number of high-level first-round NFL draft picks. He said, when I look back over my career at all the guys who were first-round picks, the hunger in them was off the charts, right? They looked at college athletics as they're just like a student that goes to a high level school and wants to be a great scientist or whatever, right? That was their opportunity to learn and get to the next level, if you will. And he said that's the way the college athletes looked at college athletics for a long period of time. Well, he said now you're taking an 18-year-old kid and you're handing them great fame. Think of Cormani McClain. The dude was nationally famous, for goodness sakes. Then he got recruited by Coach Prime, and he became even more famous. Then you're handing them all kinds of money, in some cases literally millions of dollars. He said, you don't think that's going to affect the hunger and how they go about their business and how hard they're striving to get to the next level? And then there's some entitlement that goes along with that. If I'm being treated like a star and I'm being paid like a star, well, you know, maybe I don't have to work nearly as hard as everybody else. So that's the other side of this equation nobody wants to talk about. There's a changing mindset of college athletes because we're treating them as if they've really accomplished something, and yet they haven't. And that's going to start watching guys that come in with phenomenal hoopla and how they do or do not translate, you know, in this case we're talking football, to the NFL, because I think it's going to be fascinating. This coaching friend of mine said, he said, there aren't many hungry kids left out there right now, and he said that's going to start affecting things.
With Cormani McClain, too, that one's so interesting because a lot of what we're seeing, Mark, and I love it, I think you brought this up, and now I can't stop seeing it in every tweet of a transfer portal kid. It's, I love everything. That being said, you brought that to me, and now you've ruined it. Every time I read one, I'm like, this is weird. But Cormani didn't really do that. He kind of doubled down on it, and he was basically saying, hey, I want to play for a program that's not playing for clicks or whatever. What did you make of that comment?
Well, it's a little bit of a – now, can you level that criticism against the University of Colorado football program because it's probably the most talked about football program in America in that regard? Sure, I guess you can make that claim. But, you know, you can't speak out of both sides of your mouth. You can't embrace that, love it, utilize it, and then complain about it, right? There's a problem there. And so that rings a little bit hollow when I saw that from Cormani, you know, because everyone loves the fact, you know, we all get that shot of endorphins, right, when you get the like and you get the, you know, oh, my goodness, holy cow, if you're a kid like that, 800,000 people have retweeted what I just did or my highlight or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden the back end claim, I'm not playing for that. Now, you took advantage of it. You actually were. That was part of who you were and what you were doing. And so that kind of criticism or that kind of comment, you know, just rang a little bit hollow with me.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Yeah, man, it's one of those things where you see these names come up, and you, I think just as a fan, you have to, and a person in the media, you have to just take a step back and not assume the absolute worst from either side at this stage.
Yes.
And that's not to say that that's not going to happen, but I just we have to be careful now because, like you said, this is going to continue to happen. Some teams are going to see high numbers next year. Some are going to have lower numbers next year. It's just the way this is going to go.
Yeah, without question. And getting back to Cormani for a second, listen, you came to the University of Colorado as the number one defensive back in America. You came to play for arguably the greatest defensive back in the country. You're going to play alongside the guy that right now is considered the best in America, in Travis Hunter. The opportunity sitting right there. Everyone then has a responsibility to take advantage of the opportunity. You know, if I lay a $20 bill in front of you and I say it's your $20 bill and you walk away without picking up, that's a you problem, right? If the opportunity is laying in front of you, you've got to take advantage of that. And so, you know, this isn't essentially new with somebody like Cormani McClain or any other athlete we've ever seen. It's always been there. Everything's just exaggerated now because, you know, everything's on social media and something happens and 2 seconds later we all know about it.
Mark, did they get better then? I mean, on the running back side, Dylan Edwards is gone too, and that's another one that has spurred this conversation.
Yeah.
Who had some moments. I mean, that TCU game was great. But
sure.
Then they bring in Ohio State running back Dallin Hayden coming in. So is that kind of a wash there? How do you view that?
Well, I'm waiting to see. I know that Hayden didn't have huge numbers or huge touches last year at Ohio State. I know he was a highly regarded guy. A friend of mine who's a running back coach texted me yesterday and said, "Hey, that dude is special." So, but then again, I think Dylan Edwards could be special. I think we saw flashes of that. So it may be a wash when it's all said and done. I mean, we'll wait and see. And then, you know, it's interesting, Savion Washington jumped, Savion Wilkerson, the running back, jumped. And, you know, that was a guy that was with Prime down at Jackson State. So right now that running back room's a little bit on the thin side going into the spring game on Saturday. But, yeah, I think maybe that exchange, it might be a wash when it's all said and done.
Last one for you, Mark, and this is just a future kind of question. Looking at a guy like Travis Hunter, do you see his – Is he going to start taking – will he take next year at all to focus on one side of the or the other a little bit more? Or do you see him doing basically what he did last year until he got hurt?
Well, I've been in practice, and I've seen him on both sides of the ball, so I don't know if he's going to slow down one way or the other unless that's something that, you know, maybe Robert Livingston, the new running back coach, or rather defensive backs or second – defensive coordinator, I should say, might be talking to him about. So I'm not privy to that, but he's been on both sides of the ball, And listen, we well know he's dynamic and special on both sides. From an NFL standpoint, it might be wiser maybe to maybe focus on one side because I don't know that you're going to do that in the National Football League. But my sense is he's still going to be there on either side of the ball, take a lot of snaps.
When he's playing in the NFL, Mark, is he going – if assuming that he can't do that because that would be very tough, is he a wide receiver or a cornerback?
I've been told – I've talked to two or three scouts, and I've asked that very question. The consensus has been he is special – as a defensive back, as a corner, and he is really good as a wide receiver. They all seem to think his natural position is on the defensive side of the ball. So that's my guess where he probably goes.
Mark, always appreciate you, my friend, going there with us. And, yeah, be sure to tell Tad. I'll call him later. I'll return his calls at some point. I'll get back to him, okay?
Well, you know, it really is kind of rude when you, you know, just send him voicemail all the time. You need to stop doing that too. He's a very good coach.
I know. I'm busy, Mark. You know, I got stuff to do. Mark, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you, buddy. Bye.
The voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, and that's what I'm talking about. It's a logical Buffs guy. Brian Howell, who's a reporter, was on with us last week, is a logical Buffs reporter. I'm telling you, prime fans don't make middle-of-the-road Buffs fans that are kind of like, I love the Buffs, but now you're starting to piss me off. Don't drive Buffs fans away. That's what you really need not to do. 12:50 the time. We're going to take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. A lot of people do not like the idea of Brock Bowers going to Denver at number 12. I put that out on X. You're not happy with it. We'll discuss that and more. Cody Tucker will join us to talk some Wyoming Cowboys football as well. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Lemons Heating and Cooling is going to be there for you guys. You know that AC was weird last year at the end, and you kind of put it off and said, you know, we're getting to cooler days. Fall's coming up. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it next time. Well, next time is approaching. I know we're still going to have weird weather and stuff in April, but the very warm days are coming up, and last thing you want is to be out working hard, doing whatever, and then you come home and it's stuffy and it doesn't feel great. Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of that air conditioner for you. They got free estimates available for you, online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. It's how you can reach them. Or 970-567-0798. Love this company. They were on a mission to find Weld County's oldest furnace a couple of weeks ago, and they found it. And they said, if we can find it and you can prove it, we're going to replace it for free. They found one that was 62 years old, Angel, and they did exactly what they promised. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Last night was kind of an interesting night in the NBA. Timberwolves go up 2-0, and I'm rooting for the Suns in this one, Angel, because you want a longer series there, especially if the Nuggets can't sweep the Lakers. If the Suns lose this series, that's, we were talking about it during one of the breaks, that's going to feel like not quite the football version of the Philadelphia Eagles when they had the dream team back in the day, but this is going to feel like very similar. You put a lot of big pieces together just to get bounced in, what, the second round last year and the first round this year?
Yeah, obviously, Devin Booker already kind of established himself as the guy with that team, and then you add in Kevin Durant, and it's okay, two big superstars, that works. Oh, Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic, now we should have a complete team, and they are anything but that. And I'm not overly surprised because this is kind of how they played in the regular season and you thought they were clicking late. But the Timberwolves are just a much better built team than Phoenix is.
Yeah, I think the Timberwolves are scary. They really are. And this is going to be a big time bust because you're pairing. I mean, you brought Durant in last year at the trade deadline, then Beal in the offseason this year. So where's that excuse for the Suns this year? You know, they weren't clicking. And, well, they're probably still saying it with Beal because he was hurt most of the year. But this is going to be, I mean, Durant's legacy is, with every move, with every different city he goes to, every team he goes to, his legacy is just kind of like great, really good player that chased a championship.
What if he goes back to OKC?
You said you thought you're thinking he might.
We had a comment yesterday saying, like, oh, I like what they're doing over there, and OKC's kind of my second home. Just a thought.
Well, if the Clippers get bounced in the first round, does Harden and Westbrook go over there too? And let's just bring them back with Shea? Oh, my gosh. Durant is kind of doing the LeBron thing. He just doesn't have the championships. All right, final hour of the program coming up. Buy or sell, Cody Tucker, our Cowboys insider. And more on the Nuggets-Lakers series, Game 3 tomorrow. And then the NFL draft, of course, is tomorrow, too. It's a big Thursday coming up. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.